Thanks for joining us at Faith. We hope the message you're about to hear encourages your day and draws you closer to Jesus. If you'd like to join us for service or find out more about the church, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Hey, listen, we are in this series called Fresh Start, and we've come out of the Easter season. And as we know, the resurrection of Christ was to reconcile us to God through Christ, that we would be brought into his family, and because we were enemies of God. And then Christ came, and while we were enemies of God, he died for us, and he loved us, and he drew us into a relationship with God through his sacrifice, and that was to reconcile us to God. Now, that was the first relationship that we needed to be reconciled, because we could never be reconciled with one another until we were first reconciled to God. But through that reconciliation, we were able then to then apply what we are called. We're to be ministers of reconciliation to the world, which means to one another we are to reconcile. So yes, that means the preaching of the gospel, absolutely, that the world needs to be reconciled to God. But from a relationship standpoint, what does the reconciliation of God look like active in our lives with one another in relationships? Because as we know, if your relationships are fractured or broken or struggling, everything else in your life feels off and it doesn't feel right. As we're stepping to a season where we're going on summer vacations and kids are coming home from college and people, we're in this whirling of relationships. And so how do we apply that reality in our lives? And today I want to look at something that's a principle in God's word that will transform our relationships and transform you. How many know this, that God, yes, he wants you to be in his family. That's his number one priority. But secondly, he wants you to be able to enjoy the relationships that we have with one another so that we can grow and they can be a blessing to us. So many of us have relationships around us that it's a very difficult struggle for us. But God's word and his purposes can apply to our lives and we can see God's fruit in our lives. And if I was to say this, hey, listen, if you have difficulties in any relationship in your life, from vocation, people you work with, to marriage, to family, to in-laws, to cousins, to church folk, if you have a conflict or something you're dealing with, raise your hand. We would all raise our hands. We'd all do it. But I believe in a God who invites us to be made whole. He invites us to learn how to reconcile to one another, to grow in our relationships with one another. And the Apostle Paul, I want us to learn from the Apostle Paul today how he understood relationships. And so what I'm talking about today is growing in gratitude towards each other. And so we're going to be reading from Philippians in just a moment, but I want you to understand the context of what has happened to Paul. Paul has gone to Philippi. He has planted this church, and it was a very difficult time. And what's really fascinating, it's one of the roughest churches that it was for him to plant, was this church that we're going to be reading from in just a moment, the letter he wrote to them. But when you read it, you don't get any of that vibe. You don't get any of that texture that, man, when I came and planted the church with you all, it was tough. And man, I tell you what, I was kind of glad to get out of there. But anyway, I just want to encourage you, you don't hear that. When he was in the city, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was humiliated, he was falsely arrested, he was thrown into prison. While he was there, he went through an earthquake, and then he was asked to leave the city by the leaders. How many would say this? You'd be like, well, maybe God doesn't want me to be there. But not Paul. He stayed in, he planted a church, and now he's writing them, and there's some relationship understanding here that you and I can apply in our life. In Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership of the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for you, how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. If you were to think about your relationships, if you were to think about even relationships within church, when we think about that individual, we normally don't think about the things that we're grateful for. There's something about the human nature that we immediately have a list running in our heads about how the other person needs to change and what's wrong with them. It's rare that we would first lead with, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful that they did this for me. And so what we see is the Apostle Paul, as he writes this church, he lays out some very key principles of how we can allow the resurrection of Christ in our life and the reconciling of a relationship with him be applied to our relationships with one another. This is going to be very challenging today. It's going to be very practical. And you may feel a little uncomfortable at times, but that's okay. It's going to be good for us, right? Everybody say, it's going to be good for me. All right. Now, you may have just lied because you think it's not, but I'm just telling you, it will be. And so I just want to look at just a few points here and how to grow in gratitude with relationships to one another. Number one, intentionally look for things to be grateful for in your relationships. This is what the Apostle Paul does. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, we just heard that his time there was very difficult. He doesn't say, you know, if he heard the church at Philippi, I mean, he could like twitch and have some PTSD, and he was beaten and drug out of the city, and you don't hear that at all. And he takes an intentional moment, and he takes this effort to exhort them, to encourage them. He lifts them up. He doesn't say, hey man, it was tough when I was there. And some of you were actually doubting that the gospel I was preaching was real, and some of you actually were gossiping about me, and some of you thought, man, this guy must not be anointed, because I mean, he's gotten beaten and whipped, and he's, people don't like him in our community, and maybe we should just get him out. Some of you said that. You don't hear any of that. He goes, every time I remember you, every time, I thank God for you. Every time. Now, when you apply that to our relationships with one another, that's not always the case, is it? That when we think of a relationship in our lives, we don't think, oh man, I'm so thankful. That's not how we usually lead. And some of the most damaging things you can do in our relationships with one another is focus and dwell on what you don't like about the other person. And the truth is this, the more you focus on what you don't like, the more you fixate on that, the more unhappy that you will become in your relationship with that person. You know, in all the years that I've been able to be in ministry and work with you know, married couples and just other relationships, I've never heard anyone say this. You know what? Our relationship was really struggling. We just weren't clicking, but then we started making lists of what we didn't like about the other person, and we would read them to one another, and ever since then, our hearts are connecting at such a beautiful level. But nobody says that. Nobody ever says this either. You know what? My life was going difficult. I wasn't making really good decisions, and so I started drinking more alcohol, and everything just come together really well. We know it doesn't work. But we do it. And the truth is this, we will enjoy and reap the fruit of our relationships with one another if we make a decision to be grateful for the people that God has put in your life. We live in a consuming culture. We are always thinking about there's something better and we gotta fix this and maybe I'll find something better over here and I'll find something better over there. The grass is always greener. But what happens is because we're not aware that we're consumers, it's a psychological way of thinking. We create a negative narrative in many things in our lives, so it justifies us going and turning somewhere else, or whether leaving a church and going to another one, or leaving a spouse, going to another one. There's always this sense that just you're running a list. What if we were to flip that on its head and follow Paul's example and give thanks every time we thought of that group of people, or every time we thought of the relationships in our lives? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have boundaries and have some safeguards for people who are evil or people who are abusive. Listen, you have those boundaries. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm talking about relationships that can be a blessing to us in our lives. And many times we miss it because we don't intentionally find something to be grateful about. So we are given these gifts of relationships, friendships, marriage, family. When's the last time you intentionally noted something you were grateful for? And if we do this is a discipline. It's a discipline of us not always speaking what we don't like about the individual or rehearsing, or as you heard me say before, we have conversations with relationships in our lives, in our heads. We have arguments that happen that we argue with them, and then in our minds, our imagination, they argue back and we tell them what we don't like and they said this back it was just all in your head. What if we were to be disciplined and say, listen, I'm grateful for that individual. And the fact is, I know many of us have gone through difficult things in relationships. We've had to walk through them. But I promise you, if you were to start verbalizing what you are grateful for about another individual, you will begin to feel your heart change. Now, I'm not saying you don't talk about the issues that you need to talk about. I'm just saying, like, make it like go 75-25. 75, express gratitude. 25, now that you've made deposits into that relationship, you can talk through the things you need to talk through regarding how you're going to come together and be in unity in that relationship. Now, Paul had, again, he's had all these negative things, but you didn't hear it. He could have said, but he didn't. Paul says, I'm remembering the good things about you. I'm focusing on the good times that we've had. I'm remembering what God did and what he established. And when you stop remembering why you got married in the first place, or what attracted you to that person, or when you stop remembering the good times that you had and the laughs that you had and the adventures that you had, when you stop being thankful for your mate, for your marriage, or your family, or your church, or your friendships, things start declining immediately. And Paul says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Let me just ask you a question, and we could just be real honest this morning. When you think of people in your life, think of all of the spectrum of people, is your first thought gratitude? I'd say probably not, because you're human. Most of you are. Most of you are human. But it's usually something that we think about that we don't like. And it's like, well, why do they do this? It's what I need them to do to make me feel better. So when we think of people in our lives, we think, well, they're always late. They're always in a hurry. They're not very organized. I wish they were different. How I want them to change is usually what we think of the relationships in our lives. And the truth is, much of their life could be a blessing to you. But when you think of them and you rehearse what frustrates you, it blocks you from receiving God's blessing through that individual. It's a wall you build just by your own spirit and attitude towards them. Paul says, when I think of you, first thing I do is give gratitude. He's saying, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for what you've done. I'm grateful for our times together. And here's the issue with relationships. I don't know why, but it's true. The longer you know someone, or the longer you go to a church, or the longer you work at a certain place, the more that all of us take for granted of that person, place, or church, or relationship. The more, I don't know why, but the longer you're around that, the more you focus on their faults, and it's easier to remember the bad times. It just is. It's a human nature reality. This is why the people that we know that as we grow older, we get grouchier. Would you agree? And why would people say that person's grouchy? Because they rehearse the bad things. They talk about what didn't happen. And if we want to grow in maturity, if we want to grow in really reaping the blessing, we've got to learn and be disciplined and being grateful. So when you think of friends, your neighbors, your husband, wife, kids, your relatives, is your first thought gratitude? And this is the key to us actually experiencing fruitfulness and having our needs met through these relationships, because God's called, we have needs as just, we're a relationship, we're a family, we're brought into God's family, and so we can meet each other's needs through these different aspects and roles and relationships, but we're gonna have to learn to give gratitude. We're gonna have to learn to condition our hearts. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he says, he even goes on to say, I thank God for the help that you gave. There was a businesswoman in Philippi who opened her home and for Paul and his team to be there. And he's just, I thank God for the help that you gave. Let me ask you a question. What is it you've forgotten that other people have done for you? Now remember, the longer that you are around people, the more we take for granted. The longer we know someone, the more we look for their faults. And it's so much easier to remember the bad things, isn't it, than the good things. And so we are to thank God for relationships in our life. Number two, another way we can grow in gratitude is number two, pray for the other person. Philippians 1:4, Paul says, in all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy. So he's praying for them. And as you pray for relationships in your life, this is what happens. As you're actually bringing people to the Lord and praying for them and praying for encouragement, like they just did right now over my family and me and you, like what happens is God begins to expand your heart and you begin to see the people you're praying for the way that He sees them. This is why for us, our first Wednesday of every month, we have a prayer meeting. One of the standing prayer things we pray about are those in our community who do not know Jesus. Because much of the issue with churches, and it just naturally happens, is we see those who are not saved and not walking with Jesus as the enemy instead of seeing them as victims of the enemy. So the more we pray for the lost, the more God gives us a heart for the lost. The same way with our relationships, the more we pray for one another, the more our heart is open to one another. It's just how God's designed it. And so I want you to think of someone right now that irritates you. Don't look at them, just think of them, okay? So think of that one who, it's a strained relationship, they just rub you the wrong way. When they breathe in the room, you're like, they annoy me. I have two questions for you. Do you pray for them? Or do you complain, grumble, nag, and nitpick? I guarantee if you would pray more for that individual, you would grumble less, complain less, nag less, and not nitpick. You can decide. And you might say, yeah, but it's important. I need to share my thoughts. That's also called complaining and grumbling. And please hear this. You will never see God's full blessing in your life, nor in the relationships if you complain and grumble all the time. You're never going to love your church if you complain and grumble all the time. You're like, watch it, Jason, you better leave that one alone. You're never going to enjoy your friendships unless if you're grumbling and complaining. Listen, a whole generation missed their inheritance, which was the promised land, the Israelites, because of this one thing, one of the major things. They grumbled and they complained. And so it blocked them from God's inheritance and God's blessing of the promised land. This happens and does the same thing in our lives, in our relationships. Let me just ask you this. Does nagging and grumbling work? No. Does prayer work? So what are we doing? So this is the invitation. Hey, let's do things that work. Paul says, I pray for you. Now, here's the other thing about prayer. Prayer is not a tool to impose your will onto someone else. So let's just say some of you are like, man, I wish Jason didn't wear jean jackets on Sunday. You know, I really like it when he wears that sports coat. Lord, I just pray right now that Jason would wear his sports coat. Don't do that. The purpose for prayer, now hear me, is not for us to form people into our image or get them to change. And to be honest, in most relationships, the reality is we don't want to change, so we pray that they would change. It's our human nature. It's part of where we need to mature and grow in our lives. And here's the secret. You can't change people. Only God can, but you can pray. And what you will find is that as you pray for people, you have more patience for people. If you pray for God's blessing on someone or something, you actually begin to love them. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them grow. And the fastest way to change a difficult relationship to a good one is to pray for them. We know that's true. We know that grumbling, complaining, nagging, nitpicking, attitudes, eye rolls. Like for couples, we know that when we get in the car together and we give each other the silent treatment and it's like, man, you could hang some meat in our back seat. It's so cold in this car. We know it doesn't work. There are times when Cheryl and I think it's happened once. We had a disagreement, so this one, I'm joking. But there are times that Cheryl and I, we're both very strong-willed, persistent, spirited individuals. And we can be at odds with one another. And for the most part, not all the time, for the most part, this is what I do. Because I'm the leader of the home, I need to initiate this. And when I'm not, she will. But I should do it. I go, hey, let's pray. And sometimes she's like, I don't want to pray. No, she doesn't do that. On the inside, probably. And she will tell you. Sometimes she's like, I don't want to pray. Like, you jerk. But we pray. And here's what we do. We pray blessings over the other person. I was working with a couple who were, they were at odds with one another. And I said, before you leave for work, I told the husband and the wife, I want you, this is your homework. You're going to hold each other and pray God's blessing over the other person. Pray for them. Lord, I thank you that you'd bless my husband today, encourage him and strengthen him. And God, just allow, give him favor as he goes. And God, that you would allow him to experience your goodness and your peace. And Lord, I'm so thankful for my husband. And God, may you just be with him today. And then he would say, Lord, thank you for my wife. And God, how diligent she is and how grateful I am. And God, thank you for the life that you're building with us. And Lord, I'm so thankful for my wife and who she is. And all of a sudden, what they found is, and when they did that every day, their hearts softened towards one another. This is powerful. And we know it works. And Paul demonstrates this is a key to growing in gratitude, which then is the key for you to receive the blessing of relationships that God has in your life. Look what Paul says, Philippians 1. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Look at that encouragement. Look at that. You may, he's building them up, that you will. If we were to do this, it would change our relationship. Number three, choose to believe the best about them. It's a choice. Our core values here, if you're gonna serve here or work here at Faith, that you would love God, love people, pursue excellence, choose joy. When someone says, you can't tell people to choose joy, I'm like, well, joy is a choice. Because not everything's always gonna work out, but we can choose how we're gonna posture our spirit. Choose to believe the best. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What Paul recognizes is they haven't arrived yet. And let me just tell you this about all of us. None of us have arrived at Jesus status at all. All of us have more room to mature and grow. Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is about believing the best. It's simple, but it's hard to do, isn't it? We don't normally expect the best from people around us because through our experience, we've been hurt. We've been disappointed. We expect them to let us down because they did before. But what if we were to understand they're human like we are and we believe the best? Now, the opposite of believing the best is always being suspicious of people. I heard someone say that suspicion is
the gift of discernment fueled by the spirit of fear. That's good. I didn't say it, but someone did. But think about that. And that's suspicion. We do this so much in our relationships. And the truth is, our secular courts within our nation is more biblical than most Christians. At least the court system says you're innocent until proven guilty. But many believers are just the opposite in their relationships. It's you are guilty until you prove me that you're innocent. Where's the proof? Before I believe the best about you, I'm going to have to see if I can believe the best about you. And when we live like this, it creates a toxic environment for our relationships. Because why? Because it's the opposite of God's word. Where God's word is applied, always comes the blessing of God. Where the opposite of God's word is applied, always what happens is there are consequences that are always dire to whatever situation it may be. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this doesn't mean you don't have conversations, doesn't mean you don't hold people accountable, doesn't mean you don't talk about shortcomings in all of our lives together, but love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, gives an environment to say, hey, listen, I know you did that, but I know who you are in Christ. That's not who you are. You're acting outside of your character, or you're acting outside of your identity, and God's building your character. We should say this to our kids all the time when they would pitch a fit or whatever. This is when they were young, not now when they're 19, 20, but when they were younger, I would say that. I said, hey, listen, you're not acting like a king. We don't act that way. That's not who you are. And so I would call them to a standard, but I didn't just say, well, this is what you always do. This is who you are. That's not who you are. You're acting outside of your identity. And so you call them to their best. And so being suspicious about people in our lives is about coming to conclusions without all the information. Proverbs 18:13 says this. I love the New Living Translation. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Just so you know, all of us have been guilty of this passage. But we can do this in our relationships. But Paul doesn't allow it. He sets us the example. He expects God's purpose to be worked in their life. He said, I am confident. He's saying, by him saying I'm confident, he's giving the hearers confidence. He's believing in them. And he's helping them. He's helping them not look at their shortcomings, but look at Christ's ability. And what if we were to think, hey, I want to give this person confidence that I believe in them. I believe they are the follower of Christ. They're going to become the follower of Christ that they would want to be, and or God wants them to be, or my husband's going to become, he's growing and he's making progress. And listen, this isn't about perfection, because we're all closet perfectionists. This is about progress, people maturing and growing, and everyone has a different starting place. Everyone has a different childhood trauma. Everyone has a different place, but we are looking for progress and then championing them to continue to keep walking and us walk with them. Paul says, I believe in you. I'm confident what God started in you, he's going to finish it. And here's the truth. Most of us want to finish what God started in someone else. But we can't finish it. Only God can. And so for us, God calls us to be able to believe the best about people. Encourage people. When's the last time you encouraged someone? We are starving. We are a culture that is starving for encouragement. The world and the devil is constantly tearing us down, individuals down. They try to make us feel worthless, unwanted, not believed in. We all struggle with thoughts of failure, insecurities, not enough, imposter syndrome. All of us deal with this stuff. And the last thing we need is another voice in our heads telling us that we're failures or we're stupid or we'll never get it right. What we need is a voice that says, hey, listen, I believe God's going to complete the work that he began in you. You may give up on yourself. I'm not giving up on you because I see you the way God sees you, because I've been praying for you. And God, I know, I am confident that you're going to be everything that God's called you to be. You may not look it right now, but I'm confident that God will finish the work he began because he's faithful, and I'm going to champion that. When's the last time you told somebody? When's the last time you elevated somebody? And this is what Paul does. And it's beautiful and it's powerful. We can do the same. Number four, how to grow in gratitude. We need to rehearse Christ's affection towards us. You need to rehearse Christ's affection towards you. In other words, find out who you are. Find out what God says about you. Paul writes in verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. The reason why he can love them and long with the affection of Christ is because he has viewed himself who Christ sees him. That's why you hear Paul as he explains and talks about his past, and he's like, man, I'm the worst sinner of them all. And so from that, he shares the love and affection of Christ. He rehearses it. You know, there are moments that he flashbacks of when he was killing Christians and when he failed and when he was hurting someone. But he rehearsed who he was in Christ and Christ's affections to him, and it humbles him. And then he shares that with others. And the closer you get to knowing and receiving Christ's affection and loving God, the more you will be conformed to his image, and then the more that love and affection of Christ will flow through you. If you're like, Jason, I just can't. My heart is too hard. I'm too frustrated, and I'm always filled with anger and frustration and disappointment. Then you need to find out who you are in Christ. You need to know, you need to allow the humility to sweep over your soul that while you are angry, while you were a sinner, while you were an enemy, that Christ died for you. And then from that, you're able to show affection to others. The more you look at Jesus, the more you understand who you are, the more you understand your destiny. Your identity determines your destiny. And we are to rehearse the affections of Christ. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now look, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So in order for us to grow in our relationships in gratitude, we need to understand Christ's love for us. He says, love as I've loved you. In other words, I want you to remember, disciples, how I've loved you, how I've been patient with you, how I've been kind with you, how I've been there, and I've showed grace to you, and I'm your friend. You know how I've loved you? Yes. Now you go and love one another that way. And so he instructs them by, remember the affection I've shown to you. And once you see that, do that for others. This is what it's all about. This is about you and I growing in our relationship with God and becoming like him, which means we have his priorities and his heart, and it becomes the example that we follow. And I'll close with this passage, 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is the call of God for us. This is growing in gratitude. Many of us, what we long for in our relationships will be found on the other side of stop grumbling and complaining and find something to be grateful about. Find something to encourage. Find something to lift up. Find something that you can speak life into and pray for them. And your heart's going to begin to warm, and you're going to see the people around you different. You're going to see your church different. You're going to see the world different. And God's going to use you to be like Paul. And your confidence in what God is doing in that individual's lives, you express that, becomes encouragement and confidence for them. Wow, they believe in me. When I was a young man, I don't know why this stood out to me so much. I mean, hindsight, I do, but there was this pastor I greatly admired, and I was like 12 or 13, and I was at church, and he walked by me, and he stopped, and he said, "Well, how are you, man of God?" And I was like, "I'm a boy." And I'm like, "He believes in me." And that stood out to me because it awakened something to my spirit. My parents were great and they raised me. But here's a pastor, and he calls it out of me. He spoke life to me, and it marked me. By that little phrase, he believed I could do that. He believed I could be a man after God's heart. Well, if he believes it, I think I do too. And let me encourage you today. Call someone into their destiny with your words. Don't shame them because of their present reality. Call them to where God wants them to go. Speak to them about God's purpose for their life. Prophetically call them out of wherever they are, which they're stuck in this, in whatever this gray and dark cloud of mistakes, and say, "Hey, listen, you're not acting the way that you are, the way that God marked you and gave you his identity. I believe in you. You're a man of God. I believe in you. I don't know you, but I believe in you because I believe in who God is in you." I see you have a little boy next to you. Is that your son? You're a great father. You may be thinking right now, "If you knew," but I'm telling you, God believes in you. That you're going to raise that boy in the ways of the Lord because you're a great father and you're a man of God. Do you have room to improve? Of course you do. But that's your destiny. Your destiny is great father. Your destiny is a man of God. Your destiny is a good husband. That's your destiny. Wherever you are now, that's not your identity. Your identity is there. And we speak this over people. And I believe that about you, by the way. We speak this over people. We call them to the place God wants them to be. But we first have to start being grateful for what Christ has done for us. And see this, that God wants to use me to infuse life into people around me and receive from them. I'm going to first position my heart to be grateful. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today
for who you are. I want to thank you for calling us to know you. Lord, today I just ask you that your servant, the Apostle Paul, that wrote these words that were breathed by you, may we learn from them. May today you begin to heal our hearts as we open our hearts to the journey of maturity. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, all of us have a long way to go, but we are confident, Jesus, in your confidence that God will complete the work in us that he began. And because you believe that, you didn't save us because you didn't see our destiny. You saved us because you were calling us to our destiny. And so, Lord, we want to take a step towards that today and lay aside all those other things. So, God, help us as we look to you. Just remember, with your heads bowed for a moment, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you want to receive him, and you want to receive salvation, you want to receive cleansing from your sin, and you want to take a step towards your destiny. If you're here and you want to do that, just raise your hand right where you are. Just, if you can, just make eye contact with me. If you can, thank you, bless you. Thank you, bless you, I see you, thank you. Anyone else, you can just wave at me. All right, I'm gonna lead us in a prayer. We're all gonna pray it together. And just pray this from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe you're calling me to be a follower of you. I repent of my sins. And I give you my life. And I want to start that journey today with you. I receive your identity. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we thank God for what he's doing here? Amen. Amen. If you gave your life to Jesus today, we'd love to help you on your journey. And you can scan the QR code. You can stop by the Connect counter, or you can go to our website as well. But we want to help you on that journey. If we can, let's stand to our feet. And I want to honor the communion and the Lord's Supper. So we're going to take that together. If you can, you can make your way and just grab one of these cups here. You peel off the bottom, there's a little wafer, and then you peel off the top as well. But the night Jesus was betrayed, he told his disciples to remember that this was a new day, that through what he was going to do the next day would be a new covenant. Through the blood, the shedding of his blood would be the blood of the new covenant. And so we come to this today to remember. And so this bread represents his body that was broken and whipped and suffered for you. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So through our faith in him, we are forgiven and removed from the wrath of God to receive the righteousness of Christ. And this represents his blood that was poured out for us. It wasn't spilt. It was poured out on purpose. And that through his blood, all of our sin, past, present, and future, are covered and we're forgiven. And because of that reality, we follow him and we follow his word. So let's eat of the bread together. Thank you, Lord, what you've done for us. And let's drink of the cup together. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. God, today I pray that you would bless your people. You would strengthen them. God, that they would go and prosper, that they would go and be everything you called them to be.
that God, that you would heal their hearts, their minds, their relationships, and that God, today they would be affirmed in how you see them, and they would, all of us together, would take that step towards living out our destiny because of how you've changed our identity. God bless us and bring us back safely. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, friends. I love you. If you want prayer, our prayer team is here. We would love to pray with you. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to watch a service live online, you can join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. at live.faith.church. For everything else, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.